4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie has been brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza. Pick up Connie's Frozen Pizza in your local grocer's freezer and turn your place into a pizzeria. Connie's Frozen Pizza, real pizzeria flavor, is in the house.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, so the Bears did get down to 53. Thomas Graham was amongst some of the... I don't know. Was there even one? Is Thomas Graham getting released a surprise?
Not really to me. I am not surprised at all that they are moving on from some of the previous regime's guys.
Schofield.
I don't think that they're doing it maliciously or just to get rid of people they didn't bring in. But, you know, I think that they have their idea of who they want to fill the different positions and play the game the style that they see fits.
A lot of people thought Schofield could win that guard job. It was like the first or second play of the first preseason game when he allowed a sack.
Yeah.
And then ever since then, it's pretty much like he's been in the doghouse. He was released today. So let's talk to Courtney Cronin about this. Courtney has covered the entire Bears camp, bringing you great information. She is fantastic on the beat, and she joins Waddle and Sylvie right now. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're good. So those were my headlines. Anybody else today? And the Bears got them in right on time, at least publicizing them right at 3 o'clock when they needed to be in. What surprised you? What didn't surprise you?
Yeah, I agree with your summation of it. There's not a ton of surprises. I think Thomas Graham, probably the only one that was not a head-scratcher at all because he didn't practice. I think we might have seen him out there for one day. He has his hamstring injury that's apparently pretty severe, and it kept him out of the entire preseason. But he's a name. So, like, that's why I think that would be a little bit of a surprise. But outside of that, it's a young roster, and it's a roster that has you know, a bunch of veterans who are here on prove-it deals that you wouldn't expect there to be any sort of surprise cut. So I think this is honestly par for the course of what I expected and what my 53 reflected. I think, you know, some of the things you can focus on that I guess would be a surprise in a good sense would be the amount of UDFAs that made this roster. Three out of a 53-man roster is actually pretty significant considering, you know, the positions that they brought in. Jalen Jones, the cornerback from Ole Miss, he made the roster. They kept six corners on the roster. Jake Tonjes, who's kind of this like hybrid tight end fullback position, and Jack Sanborn, who shouldn't surprise anybody because he's, you know, dominated the preseason, but a really cool story for a kid who I think many expected to get drafted out of Wisconsin, comes here as a UDFA local product, and he stuck from a very early time in his special teams contributions on top of what he's done defensively earned him this spot. So I think that those are some of the things that I looked at initially, and I wasn't surprised, but those are probably the ones that like stood out to me the most.
Courtney, is your expectation that the makeup of this roster will be fluid, not just for the next few days, but maybe throughout the course of the entire season?
Yeah, I think that's what you need to expect with a 53. Like, that's the reason it's called an initial 53. And I know people roll their eyes at that, but they still have the chance to go claim guys tomorrow. And, you know, there's going to be moves on here with N'Keal Harry going to IR. I mean, unless they really think that he can come back sooner than, you know, the four games that he would have to be out for, that opens up a spot then for them to claim a player, to go sign a free agent that gets through waivers. Yeah, I absolutely anticipate that they're going to have to do something, especially at that wide receiver group, because they kept seven and they could go heavy at that position. But right now you have Tajay Sharpe, who's been out for several weeks with that hamstring injury. Bayless Jones Jr. is still out. Byron Pringle is still out. So that's three right there. In addition to Harry, four of your, you know, seven receivers that you kept on the 53 that are injured. So it's like almost a no-brainer to me that they're going to have to improve that position. And it might look pretty different in a day or two once they're able to go through waivers and put a few claims in on guys and continue to scour other teams' cuts to see who might be a fit here.
I was going to say, so take us through that process. So the Bears are seventh in the waiver claims. So any players that they claim, the six teams ahead of them have to not claim them, right?
Correct. That's correct. And that pick comes from, it's the Giants pick that they had in this year's draft. That was the pick that they gave up for Fields last year. So I think that was a smart, it's a good position for them to be in, because you can go lighter at some positions early on when you're forming this 53 roster, knowing that you'll get, you know, first dibs more or less on certain positions that, you know, might be more attractive to teams than not. Wide receiver, cornerback always seem to be those positions. And even with the offensive line, I mean, it is, I think, for Bears fans who the last couple of days have been wondering, are they going to trade Tevin Jenkins?
Right.
Do they see all these reports that are still out there? Are they not? Like, I can understand, and people I've had the conversation with recently have kind of indicated to me that the trade talk with the Bears has slowed down for now. You don't rule it out, but I feel like that would be shooting themselves in the foot, more or less, where you finally find somebody who can play this position, because the guy that you brought in just got cut today, and you really only gave him one shot to prove himself, and he didn't do that, apparently. Like, why would you want to start all the way back at you know, ground zero with the right guard position when Tevin Jenkins has shown you he's capable of playing that position? So, yeah, I mean, they could try to upgrade the offensive line and see who's out there. Like, if there is a lineman that, you know, they can get it with their seventh, you know, being seventh in the claim order, they might. But I still think wide receiver and cornerback is where they look to upgrade the roster via the waiver process.
Bears fans are very critical these days of reporting. Like, already I've got somebody on Twitter, when I just previewed you coming on, I just wrote, we're talking Bears cuts and Tevin Jenkins' future with Courtney Gronin now. And then someone retweeted me and wrote at the top, oh, brother, always bringing Tevin up, always. In all caps, Ian Rappaport is a guy who has covered the league for many, many years. He is amongst one of the biggest national guys who break stories. He knows how to play the game. I'm not saying that he never gets anything wrong, Courtney, but like when he goes on NFL Network and says, who are some guys who could be traded? He mentions him. So where do you believe this stuff is coming from?
Well, I think with Tevin himself, and going back to the start of training camp when they, you know, NFL Network puts that report out that the team was looking to shop him, and this was before they decided finally to pull the strings on moving him to right guard. And we found out last week, Tevin told me that, you know, they told him the night before he was going to do that. So it was about 10 days in that process from when he's injured and not on the field to, hey, you're going to be moving to right guard. So the trade chatter that, you know, was drummed up there was real. I reported it too, that like teams were calling to get background on and see whether he'd be a fit. And the Bears had to decide at that point, what can we get for him? Because I think a lot of teams were looking at the situation, hoping it would fail, hoping that it would be beyond a point of repair, hoping that Jenkins wouldn't work out at right guard. And then fortunately, it's kind of like a happy accident in the way where the Bears stumbled into Tevin Jenkins working out at right guard. Thus, why the trade talk had slowed down for a while. But, you know, I think you have to consider all of your options here. Like, what could they possibly get for Tevin Jenkins? At the time that, you know, I had been reporting on this, I had heard that, you know, the thought would be either like a conditional fifth or a sixth. Now, is that enough to give up on a player who has played limited amounts of football because he underwent back surgery last year and he's a second round pick and you still don't know what you have in him? And it seems like you uncovered something that might actually work. Like, I think you have to weigh all of those things in, but also realizing that value matters. And this team is trying to get a lot of draft capital for the, you know, coming years to build upon, because that's how Ryan Poles wants to build in the draft. And I don't think there's harm in doing that, but you don't want to sacrifice, you know, the future potentially of finding somebody that, you know, got a second chance at a different position and may actually work out better at that position over trying to accumulate as much draft capital as you can to then, like, do it your way with players that you brought in.
I would define it real quickly this way. It's not a love affair. It's a marriage of convenience right now with this group. That's the way I think they feel about Tevin Jenkins. They hope that this marriage of convenience turns into a love affair, possibly, but I don't believe that that's what it was from the very beginning, that there was turmoil there.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think that the stuff didn't come out of thin air. Like, that's what drives me nuts when fans, like, think that the stuff is made up. It didn't come out of thin air. Like, you know, there was stuff that was going on behind the scenes. And you guys watched Tevin Jenkins' first press conference where he looks like a hostage up there. Like, that's not fake. Like, let's call a spade a spade. That wasn't fake. No one made that stuff up. It worked out. Like, they're really fortunate, and Tevin's fortunate, and the Bears are fortunate that they're now in a situation where they can move forward together. And I think your analogy of it being a marriage of convenience is the right one, because if it works out, that's great, because, like I said, a happy accident that they found out the player that the last regime thought would be the franchise left tackle can actually play a different position and might actually be better at a different position.
So I brought this up to Waddle earlier in the show. The depth chart that was released, and this is still the newest depth chart, it's over a week old, had Braxton Jones as the starting left tackle, but Larry Borum as his backup, and did not have Larry Borum as the starting right tackle. In this depth chart, they had Riley Reiff as their starting right tackle still, and at right guard, they had no one listed as their first string right guard. How accurate was this, and is this going to change now in the future?
Yeah, I don't think that was that accurate, but I remember ahead of, I think it was the Seattle game, that it still had Schofield at right guard and Riley Reiff at left tackle. So maybe they just, I mean, when they initially put that out, that was kind of, I guess, not surprising, but it felt like they weren't trying to, like, pull a fast one. And, you know, they were trying to be honest, at least, about where things stood. Right now, we know what the starting five is going to be. I mean, we talked with Luke Getsy about it yesterday, and of course, he doesn't want to go ahead and just say it, but he talked about guys falling into certain positions. What we've seen throughout camp is that Braxton Jones has been the left tackle for this team, really for the entirety of camp. You know, Cody Whitehair is the left guard. Sam Mustipher is the backup center until Lucas Patrick gets back. And I think at the right guard position and right tackle, Jenkins and Borum, that's what you're going to see week one, because, you know, I just don't understand why you would try to, like, you know, Riley Reiff wouldn't be playing with the twos if he was going to start for you week one. Like, it just wouldn't make any sense. You think you're going to pull a fast one on somebody just by, like, having him not play in the preseason and all of a sudden the right tackle's different? Like, that's not that much of a game changer. So I think what you've seen in these preseason games is what you're going to get from that offensive line unit to start the season.
Cornette, I don't mean to spring this on you, but Tavon Young just, I think, tweeted a few moments ago that nobody on IR, I don't even know where that came from. Any idea what that may be referencing?
Well, I'm literally looking at a roster right now in my left hand, and it says Tavon Young, injured reserve. So, yeah, I mean, unless this is a clerical error, he's on IR. And the thing about that is guys who are put on IR prior to or at that 4 p.m. Eastern deadline, that means you're out for the season.
Right.
So not sure if there's either a difference in opinion on that or what, but that's literally in the CBA and the rules.
Right.
So not sure exactly what he means by that. Maybe, I mean, how unfortunate for a guy like that who is, you know, perennially been injured. He comes here in the spring. He was injured with the Ravens, like trying to find, you know, that second chance at his career, and was supposed to be the starting nickel or contend for that job, and never even saw the field in training camp.
So what's he saying, that nobody's on IR? I'm not on IR. Is that what he's trying to say?
Inference
in the tweet,
like placed on IR,
like that the Bears have released that he's on IR.
And as Courtney and said, saying, if you go on IR at this time, you're out for the
year. Right.
Yeah.
So.
And they have four players currently on IR out for the year. David Moore, Tavon Young, Doug Kramer, and Dakota Dozier. So not sure what got lost in translation there with him.
Courtney, you mentioned Lucas Patrick. What's the latest on when he will ultimately be available?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see when they go into week one prep. Will he be out there? Because he, you know, we've seen him at practices. He's still got the brace on his hand that he broke, but he's been physically there. Will he be ready to start taking snaps? I mean, you've got to think of the injury and putting that in context. So you're an offensive lineman. You use your hands to block. So if they can get by with Sam Mustipher for a little longer, that might be the smart play, just to give Lucas Patrick as much time as he needs to get back, because when he got injured, the thought was week one could be in play. It was never a guarantee that it would be, but next week's going to be telling to see, does he actually suit up for practice at all? Because, you know, we have not seen him out there at practice yet since he injured the hand.
There any guys out there that you think would be a good fit with the Bears? Just like someone asked Will Fuller, someone asked Cole Beasley. Mm-hmm. Is there a name out there that you see that could interest the Bears?
You know, the Denzel Mims one was interesting last week because he is still so young, and it just sounds like kind of like a N'Keal Harry situation, wanting a fresh start. But, you know, beyond that, I don't know. Will Fuller's somebody who's dealt with a lot of injuries throughout his career. He's a terrific player when he's healthy, but how healthy can he stay? And I just feel like right now when they, you know, I'd have to look at what like the claim, like the other teams in the claim order, if they have needs at receiver. But any of those names, any of the surprise cuts, I mean, Cole Beasley, they kind of don't need a slot receiver considering how many they have currently on this roster, you know, when Pringle and Velus Jones Jr. come back. But we'll have to see. I mean, I'm not giving you guys a great feel for it right now because I haven't taken a look at all of the receivers that have been released. But, you know, Mims was one that I was keeping an eye on just because I thought, of any of the guys that, you know, have that high ceiling that could come into a place still young in their career and buy into a new culture, that might be somebody who wants that fresh start and could be seeking that.
After watching this team throughout the entirety of training camp and now seeing them go through the preseason games and what they were able to accomplish, albeit against a Cleveland Browns team that, you know, wasn't playing all of their starters defensively, but it was still very impressive. Where are you at, Courtney, with where you think this team is in 2022 and what to expect from them?
Yeah, I think there's cautious optimism about it. And I think Luke Getsy made a really good point yesterday because remember Fields was asked post-game, like, do you view this as just another preseason game or do you view it as a turning point? And he said, yeah, definitely a turning point. And I think that for an athlete, for a quarterback, feeling good about himself and you know, all that he put together in that preseason finale, that's understandable. But when I asked Luke Getsy about it yesterday, he kind of walked that back. He said, you know, turning point's a little extreme at this point.
It was a great soundbite. It really was.
I can appreciate that because you're going at this in steps, and you need to see incremental improvement. And I know people get bogged down with the phrase, the process, but I think he's truly looking at that to try to, you know, not put too many expectations on this team, to not say, well, yeah, we're going to make a huge jump this season. Because realistically, it's going to take more time than just this year to know if you can do that. You still have an offense that has had up and down days regularly throughout training camp and the preseason. Like, yeah, they had a great game last week, but you have to put that all in context. Like, Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney were not playing with that defensive front in Cleveland. Doesn't mean that they didn't get good work in the Bears offense. And I feel like the product that you saw and how often they were able to spread the ball around to guys other than Mooney, how heavily they use the tight end group, what the blocking scheme and some of those zone runs look like that's the carryover that you can see from the preseason. So I don't really know if there's any more buy-in, so to speak, from what I've seen. But I think it was encouraging to see, all right, the product you saw in Cleveland and what that offense actually looks like will probably be what it looks like week one, more or less.
Yeah. All right, let's piss some people off on Twitter. How many wins do you have for this team this year?
You know, I think the over-under is, I think Caesars actually just put it back at 6. I think it was at 6.5, ooh, which I was kind of curious about. I only know that because I had that stat in a story. But I think it's safe to pick the over, but not by much. Like, if this is a 7-10 team, that's a success considering everything they've had to go through this offseason to build this roster, just to shift the direction of it. If fans get upset about that, and I know we've dealt with callers on this network who think that this is a 10-win team and that they have a top-5 defense, I can't subscribe to that level of delusion. I'm sorry. Like, I'm a journalist. I cover this team. And I think that you have to look at the rest of the division, the rest of the NFC, and realizing that you still have a group that's learning, a group that's very young, and that's okay. You don't have to get all up in arms about it, but to expect that all of a sudden from one preseason game that left you with a good taste in your mouth, that this team's going to be a 9-win team, I just think that, I mean, hell, if that happens,
great.
That's incredible for just to show you kind of like how quickly this group can turn around. But to expect that this group is this year's Bengals, from their turnaround where they were, you know, in the bottom of the AFC to playing in the Super Bowl last year, I just think that that's a little far off.
That's an interesting, if the numbers move from 6.5 to 6, I would play the over down, at 6, right? Because if they win 6 games, you push. I thought 6.5 was kind of like a you're not getting my money type of where the number was set.
Right, now it protects you from that 6 win thing to not a loss.
Yeah, I go with my team.
Yep. That's why I got the plus money on 6.5. Yeah. Why it was plus 150. I didn't think maybe you can find it where you can maneuver it down to 6, but I didn't see it in the future.
Courtney, why do you hate the Bears and only think they can win? No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
You sound like the people in Minnesota.
We get that every day. We get it every day. It is what it is. We all have opinions. Some agree, some don't, but that's life.
Any other news or notes that we need to know, or do we cover everything?
You know, it's just an interesting day up here to, like, you know, for the last 5 weeks, you see a roster that has guys fighting for jobs and, you know, for it to go from 90 to 53. I think it's always a little jarring at first. I mean, we were just out there at practice, and to actually get done with taking attendance in, you know, 4 minutes as opposed to 10 because you're, you know, scouring for guys and trying to figure out where they're at. That's, you know, that one is it's definitely a welcome sight, but you know, I'm concerned about the cornerback depth. I really am. Yeah. I think that Jalen Johnson not playing in the game the other night, you know, might mean that he might be dealing with something a little bit more than just, you know, just keeping him out of the game. Like, I know Roquan was tightness stuff, and I don't think that that's that big of a deal. But I would be concerned about the cornerback depth right now. I just feel like the group that they kept is reflective of how they feel that they might be a little thin at that position.
Courtney, great stuff. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
Thank
Courtney.
You.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
There you go. We got someone on hold from a hospital who wants to call in from the hospital. We'll go to them. I never got to the second thing that's happened at a ballpark.
That's right.
A little R to X rated in plain sight. And I've got an idea for these ballparks. Why not? I think they should all lean into it.
I'm with you.
We'll get to that coming up next.
Reliable internet. It is a must this football season. No waiting on your scores to load or missing the biggest play of the game. I have a solution for you. Call my friends at Xfinity. It's really that easy. They are America's best internet experience. Xfinity delivers the fastest, most reliable internet speeds, and they'll give you the assurance that you need because of that range of fast, reliable speeds that they can provide you to fit all of your needs. Whether you work from home, you just occasionally use the internet, or you spend hours streaming movies with the family, they've got a plan that'll work for you. Xfinity has the fastest internet on the largest gig speed network, and they deliver gig speeds to more homes than anyone. Get ready to do even more on your devices with gig speeds. To get started, call 1-800-XFINITY. Visit Xfinity.com or drop into an Xfinity store today for more details. Based on Xfinity's fastest available download speeds, actual speeds may vary. Maximum download speed of 940 megabits per second when hardwired via Ethernet.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Someone tweeted us saying that at FanDuel, the Bears are at 5.5. But again, it's minus 145. So there's not a lot of value there, obviously, because it's an easier goal to achieve.
Right. I think 6, I told you this in the past, I think 6 was the number that motivates me. Because if they go 6-11, you push. I think that this is a 6-7 win team. And in that case, I'd be willing to put some money down on a over 6 win bet. I think 7's a very, very logical, you know, outlook for them. 7 wins.
Okay. 312-332-3776. Our buddy Jimmy, who is a big Bears fan, he always wishes the family well after I did that to Matt Nagy. I think we have to wish his family well because I believe he's at the hospital right now. Did your wife give birth already?
That's right, fellas. I apologize. I asked the doctor if he could strategically delay it about 8 hours so I could get that live. But, yep, we get a new guy, J. JJ, awesome. And pretty excited about his athletic potential.
Congratulations.
That's awesome. Mom and baby doing well, hopefully?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're doing great. They're down getting, you know, I escaped him. I'm on the windowsill bed that I've been provided for the next two nights. Now, no, I did look this time after I saw a star born on Saturday night.
Good work.
I decided to take a look, yeah. And that will burn a memory in anybody's memory forever.
Well, you went south of the equator, yeah. You're saying?
Yes, yes. It was in mirror format, but, I mean, you know, you get the picture for sure.
Are you happy that you decided to do that, or are you regretting it in any way, shape, or form?
I don't regret it. You know, I think it was a small gift to the gods after seeing the superstar perform on Saturday. No, I mean, you got to do it once. Everybody's got to do it once.
Which child was this for you?
No, my third boy. So I have three boys under five, so giddy up.
Yeah, I know. That's a lot. Oh, boy. You're going to need some zone defense right there.
Yeah, but we're already doing parent-teacher conferences, so that's great.
But like, the first two you didn't do... Like, to me, it was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. That was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Me too.
It's truly the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I wouldn't, you know, like to watch it every single day, but no, it's an interesting one. But, you know, I get, you know, the three boys will beat up on each other. It'll be fine.
Right.
And they'll be big Bears fans, that's for sure. They already got jerseys top to bottom, so. You know, I always think about this, the Bears line, guys, 6.5. Well, you know, I get your point on it being the fair market. I think there's a little more chaos to the league than it gets credit for. The Bears play 7 games next year against teams in 2021 who had 10 or more losses. Okay, so that, I mean, those are in rebuilding years. And guess what? I would take our quarterback over their quarterback all day long, any of those teams. And so I think what you saw Justin Fields do, and frankly, Braxton Jones, almost more importantly, is like, I mean, these NFL players, they're dominating. And I think it's, and then they play good football. And Waddle, you brought it up. I mean, it's just a breath of fresh air to see, you know, competence held as the standard. So,
Jimmy,
I mean, I'm here to look for it.
I'm with you arm in arm with the competence. I'm not ready to go to the dominant route. I'm just maybe I'm just late to join many parties. I do stay late.
Yeah, leap of faith.
I do stay late. Like, I'll show up, you know, I may not show up early, but I'll stay around until you want me gone.
Act natural.
Yeah,
right, Waddle.
Yeah, exactly. So I hope they do dominate some people. I just, as I've said a bunch in the past, I think the talent gap, just it's going to take a little bit of time for them to narrow that. And hopefully Ryan Poles is the guy that can identify guys and can, you know, make that happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and he deploys that hundred million of rockets into next year. And then I think you got to have serious expectations there. But, yeah, no, I'm excited about the season, guys. I think we're going to surprise a lot of people with the schedule that we have. Interesting to see how that plays out, but I'm not won't be surprised if after week 4 we sit without a loss.
All right, speaking of blocking, are you scheduled for a vasectomy anytime soon?
That's been discussed, you know, I think it's for the best at this point.
Yes, if you don't want more than 3, you make sure, yes, I think you go. NCAA tournament time would be perfect.
You're giving out vasectomy advice over there, huh?
I just, like, he's got his hands full.
You
man.
Have a guy?
I don't have a guy. I have not had a vasectomy.
Okay.
No.
Oh, he doesn't have a guy.
Wow. Risky.
Yeah. Risky. Yeah, I am right. No risk and no biscuit.
That's true.
Doesn't make any sense, though, in this case.
You got to let it rip, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tee it high, let it fly, right? All those things. All those sayings, Jimmy.
Jimmy, congratulations.
Yeah, well done, Jimmy.
You, your wife.
More expos talk from now on.
All right, there you go.
Of course. That's what we're here for, expos all the time.
Thanks, Jimmy.
All
right,
later,
guys.
Jimmy's calling from the hospital. His wife just gave birth. Abdallah, I'm telling you, I've got to talk you in. You've got to go south. It will be the greatest thing. You could always go back north. You can always take a flight back up north if you don't like the food and the water down below the equator. But you,
they didn't serve any food or water when I was there, but like I still enjoyed watching all
talking
four
about
of
the
them.
Civil War? What,
yeah,
what are you
I still
about?
Enjoyed you watching all four the enter the world.
There was no civil war with the equator. I mean,
no, you said you can go south, but you can always go back north.
You can always, you can hop back up north if you don't, if the sites are too, it's not gross. It's your child and your wife.
I was Johnny Bench in the crowd.
Me, I was holding.
Swing.
You had good hands. You were not allowed to catch the baby, though.
No, of course
though.
Not. So, no.
But, like,
to each their own. I enjoyed it. It was meaningful to me. If you don't want to watch your child come into this, that's, I mean, like, to each their
own. I had a leg. I had the right leg. Left leg. I had the left leg.
It sounds like a Thanksgiving turkey. What are you talking about?
I was holding the leg, and the nurse had the right leg, and I was down south.
You were holding your wife's leg?
Yes,
or you were holding
yeah,
your
it was on her
leg.
Side, or, oh, okay. her leg. And
you weren't pushing on her gut.
No,
trying to get that kid out?
You know me, and I was very aware of this. I said to her before, I said, what kind of coaching do you want? Do you want it? You want like full aggressive coaching? She's like, no, I don't want. I just want you to do what I like. Just follow my lead. And I'm like, good. I'm not gonna like, you know, like come on, put you know, just you tell me what to do, and I'm here. We'll talk good stuff, and I'm not gonna coach too much. Too much hands on coaching.
I left to get a sandwich and almost missed the second one.
Yes, you did.
But
yes.
I was there. Listen, again, it's however you would like to witness the arrival of your child, but I was enthralled.
I would think, yes. Yeah. That's all I'm suggesting. You do what you want, but
the first time I
strongly recommend.
The first one was I was like, WTF. What the?
Yeah, but this is life.
I was 25 years old at the time.
This is childbirth.
Yeah,
it's incredible. You know what else is incredible? There was.
Have you guys met my friend Dr. Spock over here?
Oh, you're going to one of those.
Oh,
yeah, you
I
can't
would not
look
do that.
Then. No,
I would not.
I
be
think
a,
they put a curtain ooh, for
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
up.
If it's
they
a
don't allow
I'm not
yeah.
going. No, I'm not going
I
south d- for that.
I don't think they let anyone look for that. Yeah, yeah they that's different. As far as the Cubs and Blue Jays last night, this is making the rounds, the video. TMZ even picked it up. More sex in the upper deck.
I think you and I, we address this with open arms. There should be Section 69 over here,
yes.
Section 68 over here.
Yes.
And there should be, we should have like, what would it be, curtains or sheets that you just pull up?
Like, I think in these games
have
that they know.
Have you seen baseball attendance?
That's what I'm saying. Like, on the games that they know that upper deck isn't getting filled, they need to do, like, cabanas.
Sex lounge.
Cabanas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have cabanas. You get your choice of, like, which beverage. You get, there's a button in there if you need some service,
oh,
more bottle service.
All right.
They're
going
to bring you some food.
Yeah.
And then when the mood strikes, you get to close the curtain, and you get to have sex at the ballpark.
And just know, like, if you're going with your kids, because you may take your two kids to the ballpark
right now. That's
time out. I'm saying, like, if you take the kids and you are in a different, you would never be in that section. You'd be over here.
Yeah, you have to be 18 years or older to be in Section 69.
Right. That's my point.
There be
it's not. Listen, you still want to take your kids to a ball game, don't you?
I'm using the cabana.
I'm not saying you're using the cabana.
No.
I'm saying that the cabana's being used over here.
Right.
You can still take your kids to the ball game. You're just in an entirely different section.
Different section.
Yes.
But they have to close the curtains.
Of course.
They can put on a you can have sex here. If this is on your bucket list that you want to have sex in the upper deck, you go ahead. You pay to rent this cabana. You get it for the game.
There's a cleaning fee as well. Like, you
of
that's
course,
part of the
cost. All inclusive. Yeah. Yeah, you pay one fee, $250, gets you your ticket, gets you a bottle of a booze of your choice. It includes the cleanup afterwards.
Yeah.
And then that way they're selling seats that they normally wouldn't sell to a whole new crowd of people who want to check a box from their bucket list.
This is what I would ask. I think those people are actually, in some ways, they're enjoying the exhibition aspect of it.
But they would not want a curtain.
Would they? Yes.
Right. So that's the point of them having
sex
there.
Is that going to be a deterrent for our section?
I think creating
its S-E-X-T-I-O-N, section.
But let me make an argument for that, Meller. When you want to be in the Mile High Club, you're not,
you rent
generally speaking, joining the club in plain sight. You're going inside the bathroom to join the club. So here, the doors would be closed there. Curtains closed here in the cabana in the upper deck.
I think certain teams would be more open to this idea, certainly if attendance is more of an issue. Like, it's hard to see you sectioning off certain parts of Wrigley when they're generally okay selling tickets to most games. But in other areas, like, they might be more open to it on the south side. Like, you know, would if... And then the question is, if you're devoting this space to Section 69, you know, would you have like a night? Like, would you have orgy night? And would it be bigger than Elvis night?
Like, I think we took a good idea and we just hosed it down with filth.
No, I don't think
orgy
wrong.
Night. No,
so wait a minute, like in the cabana.
I don't think orgy night is part of the equation.
What if there's a couch for six? You can't have six people in there. It is two people only per cabana.
Now you're all of a sudden
making rules.
I'm not advertising.
You're drawing
it
the
orgy
line.
Night.
Let's have sex, but nothing more than two people.
Yes, I'm not advertising orgy night. I'm sorry. Call me a prude. Okay,
that's
just me. Thank you.
Listen, I'm trying to think of good ideas here, man.
I'm just trying to make the socks fill up the guaranteed rate. That's
all. You're not calling it orgy night. You can't get away with that. But you're calling for group sales in the cabana. Call 312-674-1000.
For festival seating in the...
you're saying group sales.
Yeah.
That's how you group sales. Yeah.
Okay.
Tyler, get ready to do that read on White Sox Weekly next week.
Yes. It's Elvis Night on August 25th.
No, it's not Elvis Night. It's Pelvis Night.
that's the next night, right. Elvis Night, then Pelvis Night, and then group tickets for the cabana.
That's right.
On September 9th.
Listen, we're just trying to... Have you seen attendance figures in Major League Baseball, everybody?
Maybe we do it June 9th.
That's good. 6-9. That's very
Next
good,
year.
Miller.
We need a year to kind of get this, you know, flesh
out the
details.
To make sure that we're not going to go to jail. Like, I mean, it's got to be legal.
It's like, it's like Pi Day is 3-14, right? This is Sex at the Ballpark night. It's 6-9. June 9th.
There you go. You don't say 6-9.
It's June 9th.
It's June 9th.
Right.
Section 68
I'm
over
telling
here.
You
just want to be a little frisky. 69, Section 69.
I mean, unless you want to move it to March 14th, but that's I don't think they have games.
You're marketing yourself to a new crowd, and then you're also utilizing seats that aren't being used. You are checking some boxes here.
Literally.
Okay.
And figuratively.
We'll crosstalk with Black and Abdallah next.
They left.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
We have a good giveaway, too. Abdallah, care to share with the giveaway for those special seats at... The ballpark would be for the cabana.
Oh, instead of free ticket Friday, ESPN 1000 this Friday, we're going to be bringing you freak ticket Friday.
Yeah!
But I think you guys are thinking too small. I mean, Soldier Field's only used 8 games a year, 9 games a year, and a couple concerts. Why not at the 50-yard line? You don't think that there's some Bears fans in, like, Downers Grove that's like, hey there, honey. You know, me and you, 50-yard line.
Oh,
well,
are you talking about Jason? Like, dear Jesse. Is this your Jesse?
Hey, buddy. Hey there, honey. I'm going to give you the double doink. Let's go.
Oh, the double doink.
I bought us 2 tickets to paradise.
Not on that field.
Guess where you can see.
You better put down new
turf. What are you talking about? It's a little bumpy. It helps the motion of the ocean there, Tommy.
You had no interest in participating in this nonsense, and now all of a sudden you're going to...
No, I do. I like
it.
You just got to think bigger.
That's pretty good.
Go White Sox. I mean, listen.
What would the cost of that be? What would the cost at the 50 be for like 20 minutes?
A PSL, if you know what I mean. If you say anything and you know what I mean afterwards, it's automatically dirty. I could have said anything.
You can put 3 words together.
Could have said anything.
Yeah.
as much as she wants time. Yes! You know what I mean?
Yeah! Boom!
I mean, United Center, the NBA floors are already a little bouncy. Yes.
And sweaty.
Yeah. I mean, Wrigley? Think about it. Arlington?
Yeah. Ricketts, Ricketts may take this idea.
Oh, are you kidding me? Oh, did you guys hear the news today? Did you hear the neighborhood news? Mm-hmm. Beep, 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 beep. News. No, Tom Tunney is retiring.
Oh, yeah. I sent Sylvie a text this morning and said, now's your time.
Now's the time.
Go get it.
There you go.
Sylvie was going to move into that area so that he could be the alderman.
Right? Years ago when he wasn't allowing anything to happen.
Right.
At least they've allowed them to do their stuff.
So you don't want to be the alderman anymore?
I mean, to be fair, Sylvie, if he wouldn't have them allowed them to do their stuff, they might have had money to spend on the team.
Well, they did have money to spend on the team until they said, decided not to spend money on the team.
They said all of the rooftops and everything like that. If they weren't allowed to buy all those rooftops, they would have had money to spend on the team.
Do both.
You could. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
do
why
both.
Not?
You don't get.
Hey, there's still a couple bars that are closed over there. You and I could go in.
Let's do it.
I mean,
I'll do that.
What's the name of your bar?
PSL, buddy.
You know what I mean? You know?
Damn it.
It's called PSL, buddy. It's just called Buddies.
It's Buddies.
Hey, buddy.
I'm sure there's a ton of bars called Buddies.
Hey, buddy.
I'd go to Buddies.
Hey, buddy.
I'd go to Buddies. Buddy sounds good.
Jesse would be your greeter at the front door. Hey, buddy.
He's got to
do read my story on ESPN.com? Talk about Menachino. The lunch angle.
Come on in. Have a drink, buddy.
Do you guys see the White Sox are now making excuses for the lack of home runs? What Fegan wrote an article, didn't he?
I think the ball. Aren't they worried that the ball is being
traveling?
They're the one team.
Yeah,
at guaranteed
Tigers. All right. Them and the Tigers.
All right. Terrible.
Pujols has more home runs than anyone on that team, and they're complaining about the ball.
Got swept over the weekend. Get out of here.
Yeah.
What if White Sox baseball coming up in 37 minutes.
Freak ticket Friday.
Good luck to Connor McKnight in the White Sox broadcast.
I mean, that's
tonight.
What we're doing now. Instead of you guys talking about a series coming up here or something like that, or a push for the final run here to the playoffs.
Said push, right?
Yeah, final push to the playoffs.
Yeah.
We're talking about Freak Ticket Friday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, don't be two games under 500 at this point in the season where you were the third selection to win the World Series.
I mean, I was listening to Cap and Dion today. I was doing my homework for tomorrow. And he said, would you rather have, since it is a Would You Rather Tuesday, tarantula. Would you rather the White Sox?
We asked this question about a month ago.
We did the month thing like a month ago.
It was a Would You Rather.
We did the month. So which would you rather have? The Tony La Russa is, you don't make the playoffs and Tony La Russa is gone, or you make the playoffs but you have to keep Tony La Russa.
I'm going with what's behind door number two. I go to the playoffs and think that magic could happen because I think Tony is bad, but Tony isn't the only reason why your team stinks.
I think it's more likely he stays if they don't make the playoffs.
That he wants
the
redo? I don't
think he's going to go out like that.
Yeah.
And I don't, and again, I have said this for weeks, I don't think they're going to escort him out either. If he goes to Jerry and says, I'd like to try one last time, I think we got it this time, I think he gets the opportunity.
We've got it this time.
We have it figured out.
If we stay healthy, I think we got it.
The answer to your question is playoffs. You always go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because at some point, he's going to want to not be managing. So, you continue to go to the playoffs, and you try and take your crack that way.
So that way, in the playoffs, when he does screw up a game,
maybe he does something
even more than he gets gone.
You know, he walks a batter when there's two strikes.
Bases are loaded
like
in a tie game. Put him on. Why?
Sox are out of the playoffs.
That would be a walk-off for the Astros. The Astros walk us off if we walk them. You heard me. Walk them.
And then he's just standing there in the dugout looking around. Everyone's walking off.
Like, wait a minute.
It's not an arm issue!
I thought it was the eighth inning.
His right arm was ripped off by a bear. It was a freak accident, I know, but he lost his right. It's not an arm!
The injuries with this lineup, I've never seen such a thing.
Grandal's coming back, though.
Great.
Nobody's slower than Paul Konerko than Grandal running the first. I mean, the two have a piano on the their backs as they're trying to get down the first base line.
It's just been frustrating.
He's
hasn't
Konerko
it?
Hit.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
That's
a good point. Yeah,
it was last
he'd
week.
He'd be trotting around after all those home runs.
He punted as a White Sox fan.
Last week is what broke me, and I'm just done. We've been on to football. We are not doing.
Season, man.
I will promote Connor. I will promote Len and DJ. Great broadcast. I'm done with this team. I don't care.
Get out.
Season's over. Please. This last weekend, how else can you look at it?
That being said, Connor will join Cap and myself tomorrow at 8:35 in the morning.
Hey, good luck with Cappy tomorrow. I'll be listening.
I mean, we've
You're looking forward to it.
Pterodactyl.
We were upstairs. Abdallah seems very excited for this.
I can't
he should
wait.
Be. Yeah. It's going to be an entertaining show.
It's a big spot. Make sure, because when I was filling in with Hood last week, I got in a couple Bear Down podcast promotions.
Of course.
Getting a CCT this weekend, Saturday, 9 a.m.
I've got CET.
Promote some stuff tomorrow morning. Get it?
It's CTE. You don't even
CCT.
Know.
That's the joke.
Oh.
Jesus. Really?
Get some promotion on the morning show, Abdallah.
I
also told them that we'd be willing to talk college football with them once a week. I don't think they're going to take us up on
hard
that.
Pass.
Oh, you're saying
no,
hard pass.
No, they'll give us the hard pass.
Oh, of course.
They'll give us the hard pass.
Is Mo going to call tomorrow?
Of course Mo's going to call. Mo calls every show now. And then he apologizes for calling every show.
Is he going to call tonight?
Let me finish.
Show notes. All right, thank you to Big Cat and Courtney Cronin. Black and Abdallah coming up next, and then Thrilling White Sox Baseball. Thank you to Tyler Aki and Jeff Meller. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night.